Good morning, Lord. Lord, once again, we thank you for this day. Once again, Lord, we come to you seeking. Seeking you. Seeking your ways. Seeking your instruction, your guidance. Lord, we are but children. But you're our Father. May you fill this place with your presence today. May you fill our hearts with your love. May you fill us with your word. May you open up heaven for us this morning and pour out the blessings you have for us, Lord. We're not asking for something that you don't want to give us. We're asking for something that you do want to give us and that you have an abundant supply of blessings. May today be about you, Lord. May every day be about you. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Baruch Abba, B'Shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This morning is Palm Sunday. Our opening scripture this morning was Exodus 12, 1 through 6. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. The 10th of Nisan. Most years, that would be today. But every once in a while in the Hebrew calendar, they throw in an extra month. So they're going to be a little bit behind. Or maybe they're on time. Maybe we're ahead. I'm not going to get into that argument. We're going to be talking about the triumphal entry today. I've got another scripture passage I want to read first. Psalm 118, 24 through 28. This is a day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Verse 25, save now. I beseech you. Do we need saving? constantly, don't we? The word saved from the Strong's Concordance is number 3467. It means, or it, in Hebrew, is Yasha or Hashia. It means now. Oh, no, it doesn't mean now. That's the next word. I'm getting ahead of myself here. Save. The word now is number 4994. In Hebrew, it's na, N-A. So you put the words together, and you have Yashia na, or Hashia na. We render that in the Greek, that's rendered Hosanna. We sang that, and I'm glad we did. Thank you, Gretchen. Sometimes you listen to, you always listen to me. I pray, I beseech you now. That's what it means. The triumphal entry. This event is recorded by all four evangelists. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all have it. You know, that should tell us something about the importance of the event. In John 12:12-15, it says, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. Matthew 21:1-11. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, The Lord has need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come unto Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. You know, this event is unlike anything else recorded about Jesus in the gospel. There's something very unusual about it. Matthew 12:15-20, and when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. Matthew 6:20, Jesus asked a question of his disciples. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? The answer they gave him was, some say you're Elijah, some say John the Baptist, some say one of the prophets. Then Jesus said, Who do you say I am? And Peter had his moments, didn't he? Actually, he had a lot of them. said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And what did Jesus say to that? He said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but the Spirit has revealed it. And upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Then he said, or then it says, "Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ." In Mark 5:43, after raising Jairus' daughter from the dead, "And he charged them straitly that no man should know it." Mark 9:9, after his transfiguration, "And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead." John 6:15, after feeding the 5,000 men and women and children, "When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone." John 7:4, his brothers said, "For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show yourself to the world." In John 7:6, Jesus responded, "My time has not yet come." Jesus avoided notoriety. He didn't seek recognition. So why here does he put himself on display? This is completely out of character. So why? Because his time had come. Two things Jesus always did. He always acted in the interest of the Father's glory. And he always walked according to the Father's word. Jesus had said, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. And when he became flesh, he said, "I come to do thy will, O God." So why did he do all this? There's another reason. Because the scriptures required it. Why did he say, "I thirst," when he was on the cross? Psalm 69:21, "They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink." Why did Jesus come riding on a donkey? Why not a horse? It's more noble, isn't it? Because he's come meek and lowly. A king on a horse meant war. A king riding on a donkey meant peace. He came in peace. The palm trees, Palm Sunday, that represents peace. So why a donkey? Actually, it was because it says in scripture it was to be a donkey. Genesis 49:10-11, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come." Shiloh, that's another name for Jesus. It means whose it is or to whom it belongs. "And unto him shall the gathering of the people be, binding his foal unto the vine and his ass's colt unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes." The vine. What was the vine? Isaiah 5 says that's Israel. The choice vine, John 15 says the choice vine or the true vine is Jesus. Zechariah 9:9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon the colt, the foal of an ass." Matthew is the only one that mentions two donkeys that were brought to him. He only needed to ride on one, but that one was just barely weaned, if weaned at all. So the mother had to be there. You know, he's even showing, giving humane treatment to a donkey. Luke 19:42. Jesus said, if thou had known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thy eyes. He said this during his triumphal entry. If you had known on this your day. What did he mean by that? Because that day had been predicted. The day that he would go into Jerusalem on a donkey. Daniel 9 tells of Daniel's 70 weeks. Everybody familiar with that? The 70 weeks, that's weeks of years. It says, from the going forth of the command to rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks for a total of 69 weeks. That's 69 weeks of years. It's 483 years. Of course, there's going to be another 7 years that Daniel talks about. That's going to be the tribulation that has yet to come, we think. No, that is yet to come. So what's being said there? From the time that Xerxes said, go rebuild Jerusalem, until the time Jesus came was 483 years. You can figure it out. It's there. The exact same day that Jesus was supposed to go into present himself into Israel, he did. The exact same day. He's always on time. I could take you through the Bible. I'm not going to do it today, but I can show you that the exact date that Israel would become a nation in 1948 was predicted by God. So why on the 10th of Nisan? That was the day they picked up out the sacrificial lamb that would die for Passover. Jesus was saying, here I am. The 14th day was the day the congregation of Israel would kill it in the evening. That's the day we celebrate as Good Friday. I've looked closely at this event, and I've listed some things we can learn from it. It says that the people went out to meet him as he was coming to meet them. We need to come to him so that he will come to us. James 4:8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Each step we take, God also takes a step. His steps are bigger than ours, aren't they? You know, this also made me think of something else. We're going to rise to meet him in the air. So it's going to happen. We need to come to him with praise. They were praising Jesus, and the Pharisees said, rebuke your disciples. Jesus said, if they didn't praise me, the rocks would cry out. How can rocks cry out? All of creation groans, waiting for the restoring of everything that happened as a result of Genesis chapter 3. All of creation groans. We need to come to him with worship. Didn't I say that? No. Worship and praise go along with each other, of course. In John 4:24, it says, those that worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth. We sang about that too, didn't we? I didn't realize that until, oh, there it is. God's good. One is an outward expression. The other is an inward attitude. There has to be both. We need to come to him expecting. They were expecting. They thought Jesus was going to ride into town. He's going to kick the Romans out and he's going to set up his throne. And Jesus wanted to set up his throne in people's hearts first. Then he'll come back and he'll be riding on a horse next time he comes back. We need to come to him expecting healing, expecting salvation. We need to come to him accepting his will. It's not time yet for the Romans to be gone. You're going to have to endure this a little bit. Because God's going to fulfill his purpose. We need to come to him knowing who he is. Matthew 21, 10 and 11. And when he was come unto Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Did they really know who he was? They were right about him being a prophet. After all, prophets ride on donkeys. But so do kings. We need to come to him with discernment of the seasons. They were told when it was going to happen. Are we told when things are going to happen? No one knows the hour of the day, but we will know the seasons. And we're kind of starting to figure out that maybe we just might be in a season, right? I remember 30 years ago thinking, this is it. We're there. It couldn't possibly get any worse. Don't ever say that. I think God loves a challenge. No. No. It's God's purpose. It's his plan. No one knows the hour of the day. Not even the sun. But we know the season. In Exodus, our opening scripture, it refers to the Passover lamb several ways. First way is, it's referred to as a lamb. Then it's referred to as the lamb. And finally, it progresses to your lamb. Which is he to you? When we come to the Lord, we experience each stage of progression. I remember I had a pastor that I love the pastor in Prineville, Oregon. His name was Dwayne Jordan. He passed away a few years ago, but he was not just a pastor, but a very good friend. I learned a lot from him. But he used to like to say, and I think it's a line to a song too, let me tell you about my Jesus. And he'd get excited about it, which he should. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Not just a Jesus. Not just any Jesus. He has to be the Jesus. And he has to become your Jesus. I read something in the Book of Mysteries the other day, and I'm going to include this in here. Anybody know what the Book of Mysteries is? It's a book by Jonathan Cahn. And it features a teacher and the student is telling, is narrating the events that happened. And there's 365 mysteries, and they open up a lot. Anyway, I'm just going to read this. It's the Akkadan mystery. Have you ever heard of the Akkada? Asked the teacher. It's the offering up of Isaac by his father Abraham. I've heard of it, I said, but I never understood why it happened. It was a test, he said, but also a mystery. At the end of the test, God sealed his covenant with Abraham. In such a covenant, each party had to be willing to do what the other was willing to do. Now let's open up the mystery. Abraham was willing to offer up his son as a sacrifice. Therefore, pause. Therefore, God, I replied, would have to be willing to offer up his son as a sacrifice. The father brings his son on a donkey, said the teacher, to the land of the sacrifice. So then God would bring his son on a donkey to the land of the sacrifice. Palm Sunday, Messiah is brought on a donkey to the place of the sacrifice. You can see the lights going on there somewhere, right? The father places the wood of the sacrifice on his son's shoulder. God would place the wood of the sacrifice, the cross, on Messiah's shoulders. The son carries the wood up the mountain to the place of the sacrifice. Messiah carries the wood to the place of the sacrifice. The father lays his son upon the wood and binds him to it. The Messiah is laid on the wood of the cross and bound to it. The father lifts up the knife of sacrifice, but is stopped. And so the knife, the judgment of God, is lifted up, but it's not stopped. Messiah is killed on the wood of the sacrifice. Do you know what appears in this account for the first time in all of Scripture? No. Actually, there's two words that the first time you read them, first time you see them in the Scripture. One of them is worship. Stay here with the donkeys. The lad and I are going to go yonder and worship. We're going to offer him as a sacrifice, and that's worship. But the word that's being talked about in this is the word love. 22 chapters of Genesis. The first time the word love occurs is talking about a father having to give his son as a sacrifice. The first love in the Bible is from this account, the love of the father for the son. Just as the first love in existence was that of the father for the son. And yet the Father was willing to offer up the Son of his love to save us. And what does that reveal? If God offered up the Son of his love to save you, then he must love you with the same love with which he loved the Son. Is that possible? Is that true? As it is written, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do we have any whosoever's in here? I had to. That's been an ongoing thing here for quite a while now. I'm a whosoever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So you don't ever have to wonder how much God loves you. The sign is already there on the wood of the sacrifice. As much as he loves his only begotten Son, the greatest love in all existence, that's how much he loves you. Think about it. Can God love any less? I don't think so. God is love, Everything about him is love. Everything about him is totally just all out love. So yes, he loves us for the same. One more thing, as I continue to close. Luke 13:35. Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, you shall not see me until the time come when you shall say, Baruch Abba V'Shem Adonai. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Do you want him to come? Then say it with me. Baruch Abba V'Shem Adonai. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Lord, we thank you for your promises. We thank you, Lord, that your promises are true. They're firm, they're rock, they're solid, we can stand on them. We know beyond a doubt that what you have said, you will do. May it be so, Lord. May your promises be true, which they are. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for your encouragement. I thank you, Lord, that we can, on this day and every day, Lord, we can look to you and we can know that your word is true. Bless your people today, Lord, please. May your word penetrate into our hearts, into our being, Lord, and just may it show through everything we do, Lord, that we are yours and you are ours. Thank you. Lord, I pray that you bless your people, that you'd keep us safe and bring us back safe when we meet again. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If there's anybody in this room that's never received Jesus Christ as their Savior, come talk to me. We can take care of that real fast. Don't leave here without Jesus. Thank you, everybody, for coming. That concludes our service.